Fake news has become a political term used to describe journalism that is critical or not what you want to hear. But there's a lot of actual fake news out there. Inaccurate stories that spread quickly on Facebook and Twitter. In-depth articles reduced to posts without context. And we may all be at fault if we share those posts without reading the stories. Here's Sam Harnett from member station KQED.
Shareability. Yeah, that's a word now. So what makes something shareable on Facebook and Twitter?
It's not predicted by the accuracy or the quality of the content, but rather the emotional fervor of the messaging.
UC Santa Cruz psychologist Adriano Monago studies how communication technologies shape the way we interact.
The extent to which a message has the capacity to arouse our emotions, the more likely it will get spread.
Emotional headlines and pictures get a reaction. You can also use them to craft your online persona, your digital identity. Monago says sharing a post is often not about the information. It's about trying to seem smart or woke or that you have certain values. The official term for this is called virtue signaling or impression management. And it can be bad news for even the very best journalism, says Carly Severn. She's KQED's senior social media strategist.
Rigorous news can end up being misrepresented in the process of sharing and the way it travels. It's really troubling.
Unread news becomes fodder for our social media echo chambers. It's been happening for years, and it'll ramp up again during the midterm elections. Newsrooms haven't figured out a solution. Severn says even reputable news organizations fail by creating posts that seem to tell the whole story, or ones with simple, emotionally charged messages. Both encourage sharing without reading.
And the trouble comes when the social media post is treated like the full story, and it is absolutely not.
This is part of why people argue that websites like Facebook and Twitter are not just platforms, they're media companies. Benjamin Decker researches media manipulation and disinformation at Harvard.
I struggle to think about how they can responsibly move forward without recognizing their role as a publisher.
Facebook declined to comment about how they're addressing this issue, and Twitter didn't respond in time for this story. As recent as the hearings before Congress, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg denied that he's running a media organization. But Facebook is where a lot of people get their news, instead of on the actual websites of the news organizations that produce the stories.
There needs to be a conversation amongst newsrooms on how to understand separating themselves from the platform.
The bite-sized news snacks on Facebook and Twitter have big ramifications, says Joe Tooman, chair of the Department of Communications at SF State.
It's the sort of thing that encourages this kind of rapid use without really thinking about what any of it means. A dumbing down, if you like, of people who have the brain capacity to do much more.
Tooman says what's really pernicious is that we're being conditioned to want this shortened content by the format of social media itself, the scrollable, endless stream of posts that are all competing for our attention. These sites are not only satisfying our desires, but shaping them.
We've sort of become programmed by the technology that was supposedly programmed for us.
And the more we eat the snackable content served up on social media, Tooman says, the more we crave it. For Here and Now, I'm Sam Harnett.